We will miss each and every one of you. That is for certain. And we would like for your prayers as we embark on this huge project that I haven't realized how big it is yet. I ask that you guys pray for us, for that God may give us wisdom and strength as we share Jesus through the health message. Like I said, it's going to be a vegan restaurant, so I know it sounds cliche, but if you're ever in the area, please stop by. It's going to be called Pulse Cafe, so, and I'm going to plug it. Look for us on Instagram and Facebook, and go look for it online. It should say coming soon, but soon we're going to open up soon, God willing. The soft opening is probably going to be a week after I get there in August, and the grand opening is going to be after Labor Day, so it's going to be a lot of work. That's why we ask for your prayers. As we transition to Massachusetts, so are some of the departments. As you heard, Dhamma has resigned from the Department of Health and Temperance, and we have two leaders, Mark and Jan, and we pray for them as well, that you may support them as you have supported Dhamma in the past. There's a lot of great opportunities how we can share Jesus to others through, if you're just looking up your brochure, your pamphlets, we have Dr. Riesenberger, a phenomenal speaker. The pastor is going to talk more about him, and you'll hear more information. Dr. Sandoval, you've heard Eric's testimony, how great this man of God is. And, of course, the 5K coming up again in September. So we ask that you continue to support the Health and Temperance Department. And there'll be a lot of more and exciting news regarding the two doctors that'll be here in August. So we ask for you to pray for us as well. Once again, you will be missed. The title of my message is Prepare Ye the Way. But before that, let's have one word of prayer. If you just bow your heads with me as I pray. Last year, Sister Anna Rodriguez, for those of you that don't know, it's Hector's wife, she asked a couple of the church members, what did I say? Oh, so, yes. Yeah, whoa, you know. More rumors, right? No. His sister, thank you. His sister, that's not his wife. She asked a couple of the church elders, the pastor, to do a small week of prayer. For those of you that you don't know, she's a lay evangelist on Below Radar. Now, she doesn't speak much about it, but she has a Bible study in the retirement center where she lives every week, and I know she gets a lot of support. And so she asked us, or her brother, Angel, another one of her brothers, was setting this up with the speakers and the titles. And he asked me to speak on Prepare Ye the Way, and he gave me the Bible verse, and he's like, okay, go. All right, and I said, sure, no problem. And so I'm going to expand more of what I presented to the Horizon Retirement Center in Clifton last year. And the title is Prepare Ye the Way. That's found in the book of Luke, chapter 3. And I want to read it once again before we begin. Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to include 6 to this one. So if you can please open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. When you have it, please say amen. Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and it says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 5, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Prepare ye the way. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. It was said of him that there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen any greater than John. What was his task? To prepare the ground for Jesus. In other words, to prepare the hearts of men to receive Jesus. That was his task. How did John prepare the way, you might be asking? How did he prepare the way? Okay, he preached repentance. What else? He baptized, yes. Thank you. Great answers. We are clearly told that John was sent to prepare the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what exactly did he do in preparing the way? In Luke chapter 3, we were told that he went into the country and preached baptism and the remission of sins, of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Also in Matthew chapter 3, "In those days John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That was his message. So how did the people cooperate with John in preparing the way for Jesus? They confessed their sins and were baptized as a sign that they had turned from their sins. Matthew chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6. And were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. How did he prepare the way? By preaching the word of life to men and women in the wilderness. Now, what does this mean to prepare the way? I keep on saying over and over, what does it mean to prepare the way? Well, what I did is, and I like to do this a lot when I'm doing a study, I get my Bible commentaries, I get a Bible dictionary, and I start dissecting verses. For those of you that have heard my sermons in the past, I tend to dissect verses, and that's how I prepare sermons. Well, I went to one of the Bible commentaries, and I looked up prepare the way. It means to create a favorable environment or to make it easy for one to come to you and cooperate in your life. Okay, let's take example of Luke chapter 3. And it says that it is written, he came to preach, and as he was preaching, he said, every valley shall be filled, the paths will make straight, every crooked shall be straight, and every mountain will be brought low, right? And the rough way shall be smooth. Apparently, John the Baptist was creating a favorable environment and making it easy for Jesus to enter into and operate into the lives of people. Okay, how did they do it in ancient times? When kings were going to come to parts of Asia or in the Far East, what they did is they would send forerunners and say, the king or the queen is coming through here, passing through here. So, and after they sent the forerunners, they would send armies to prepare the ground for the king's chariot and all his entourage and the chariots and the horses. So when the paths were crooked, they would make straight. Any rocks and obstacles in the way, they would clear the path. Any potholes, they would cover with dirt to prepare the way for the king to come. You see what I'm saying? They would make the path smooth. They would prepare the highway for the king to come. This is taken from several different books, and it says, being taken from the practice of the Eastern monarchs, who, whenever they entered upon an expedition or took a journey, especially through the desert countries, sent messengers before them to prepare all things for the passage, and pioneers to open the passes, to level the ways, and to remove all impediments, which means they tore down trees that they had to. If they had to knock down a house, they would do it to prepare the way for the king. In another book, it says, in a picture of an old age tradition of honoring visiting royalty by preparing a processional path for them to the great cities. In Africa, many of these ancient traditions are retained. I didn't write down the book, I read it. It says, and when we visited Uganda, the people honored us by lining the roads that brought us to their churches and homes and by waving branches and singing as we arrived. So any time in the old times when kings would go by, they would literally level the paths, clear all obstacles to prepare the way for the king. For those of you that have worked in or around or currently work in the city, you know what it's like when dignitaries are coming to town, right? Usually in September is when they have the UN General Assembly or when the president is coming to town. What's the first thing that you hear? Where do you hear it? in the news, right? For at least a week before it happens. So even now, when dignitaries are coming to town, what do? They prepare the way, right? They announce so-and-so is coming to town, whether it's President Trump or a dignitary or someone from the UN. What they do is they announce what's going to happen. They announce all the street closures. After they announce all this, they tell you to take alternate, right? Take mass transit. Don't drive into the city. And then what do you see happening? Like a couple days, if not the day before this dignitary arrives. Barricades. Barricades blocking off a huge police presence and a lot that you don't see. So even now, when a dignitary is coming, they literally prepare the way for this dignitary. They close off many streets, even sidewalks sometimes. I got blocked off once because they said someone was coming out of the UN, so they just literally closed the sidewalk with this orange net, and we had to wait. I went to the store to buy something for work, and I couldn't go back to work for 40 minutes. And they ended up not even passing by. They must have just done that just kind of, you know, as a backup plan. Who knows? But even now, they prepare the way for dignitaries to come by. So this is on a literal sense, preparing the road. Now, how do we transform this into a spiritual way? Now, it is true that we prepare this way in our hearts. That's what I'm going to be talking about. But the same is true on the flip side, when you turn the coin to the other side. Can we prepare the ground for something negative as well? Of course we can. I know Brother Jimmy was talking about how we get distracted with Facebook and our cell phones and TV and all these things. We can even be distracted by our families from keeping us from studying the Word. Pay attention how John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ through preaching repentance and baptism for the remission of sin. He created a favorable environment. The same way we can create a negative environment in our hearts by all these different distractions, and we can prepare our hearts for sin. And once we're in sin, it just snowballing into bad and worse and worse, and it just continues to get worse. When we're so far in, we never knew we got in. You know, that book, Creeping Compromise, talks about little at a time, little at a time. And by the end, you're just like, whoa, how in the world did I get here? So we can even prepare the groundwork for the devil and the fallen angels. So we have to be careful. But the good thing is there is hope. There is hope for you and me today. I believe the Lord gave us a beautiful revelation about how we can prepare the way for the Lord in our lives. John the Baptist was said to be sent forth to prepare the way for Jesus. But what exactly did he do? He preached the repentance of sins and baptized people for the remission of their sins. He was getting people ready for Jesus' arrival, literal arrival, by getting them to turn from their sins and to repent. For in Hebrews 12, verse 11, tells us, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. In the Bible, there are many verses which warn us and tell us to be prepared. In Luke 12, verse 15, and he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possess. So we have to be careful with our possessions that might take us away from God. In Romans 13, Paul says, and knowing this, the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. In 2 Corinthians 7, 1, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourselves of all these offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? And the last one for this part is Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that is so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Please remember that Jesus is the only one that can free us from our sins. But we must ask for help. Jesus is our only hope to rid us from the rocks, from the stones, from the potholes, from the crooked places that are in our hearts. In 1 John 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 9. Jesus is the Lamb, right, that has died for us. If we acknowledge our sins, we have help. You see, by simply acknowledging our sins, it is not enough. As John clearly rebuked the Pharisees for not living up to their confessions in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, he denounced them, saying, "You brood of vipers," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee God's coming judgment? Prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God." Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "Also make it clear that we are to turn from our sins. He that cover his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." It is clear in the Bible, just like in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." What does all this have to do with preparing the way, you may be asking? This: we may hear that the King is coming. We may see the signs that the King is coming. We may hear the messages of the King. We may even see and hear the forerunners telling us that the King is coming, but we never clear the obstacles in our lives. We never get rid of the rocks and the trees and the potholes and the crooked roads when the King comes. And if we don't do that in our lives, if we just profess to know the King, but we do not prepare the place for the King in our hearts, we will not see him face to face. How do we prepare the way for others? How do we do it? Anyone have any examples? How do we help others prepare the way? Okay, spread God's word. What else? Show them love, testimony. Yes, what else? Be an example. Great answers. By being and living examples to the world around us, we prepare the way. Sometimes our lives may be the only book of the Bible they may read. Matthew chapter 5 and 17 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We have to live like Enoch, Moses, and the apostles. For those of you that remembered my last sermon where I preached, "Blessed are my friends," I use those three as examples. Sister White says that when Enoch went to heaven, when he was raptured into heaven and is spending eternity with Jesus right now, the people, the community, his co-worker, his friends, his family missed Enoch. If we were to leave this earth right now, would people realize we were missing? Have we made an impact with our family and community enough to say, "Wow, I really missed this person"? We should prepare our hearts and prepare others for Jesus. We have to be friends of Jesus in order to know who he is, right? We must spend time with him. We must pray with him. We must read his word, and we must witness of Jesus and his love. For the hope that we have, we should share to others. Not just saying, if you don't do this, no. It has its proper place, but we should also preach the hope that we have in Jesus. And once we share the hope, we can let them know how they will be spared of the destruction to come. What are some examples on how we can prepare the way for others? Well, we said these examples by living examples, by sharing our faith, by sharing our testimony. I told you how Sister Anna Rodriguez shares her testimony, how she prepares a way for others through Horizon. And it was funny because when I was preaching and at the end, I said, you know, one day Jesus is going to come through the horizon and no one got it. Where they lived is a horizon. So I was saying, if we prepare the way, Jesus is going to come through the horizon. I thought it was a good joke. Anyway, do you guys get it or no? Yes, the horizon is where they live. And Jesus one day will come through the horizon. There's a story of a taxi driver, and it's a real story. It's not an evangelist tale. His name is, we'll give his name Jorge. I do not know his name. He's from Chile. Every time he takes passengers in his taxi, he prays a silent prayer, and he asks God which way I can witness to the people. Once he strikes up a conversation, and when things are going well, he offers them something. And I brought a little show and tell. And this is called Bible Promises, the Word of God. For those of you that read Spanish, you'll tell right away. Promesas de la Palabra de Dios. So he has one of these in his car. And what he does is after he leaves, his customers leave, he offers them a little gift on their way back. So he's like, here you go. Have a good day. Have a blessed day. And if they open their hearts, he says, I'll be praying for this situation. So he always has an opportunity to share the word. We have all these little tracts in the back that we can share. We can, for those of you that still send bills out, you can put them in your bills. There's many things you can do to share God's word. And just like this taxi driver, he gives every opportunity to share the word of Jesus. So in a nutshell, what am I saying? What is my conclusion? The Bible doesn't necessarily have a lot to say about John the Baptist. We knew that he was Jesus' cousin. We knew that he prepared the way and that he was beheaded. And we don't know that much more of his life other than he lived not necessarily in seclusion, but he devoted his life to share the word, to prepare the way for Jesus. That's what we know. He preached repentance and the remission of sins for people. I believe that by confessing and turning from our sins, as we clear all the obstacles in our lives, as we are good citizens and love people, and also by sharing Jesus, we will help clear the obstacles not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. We can prepare the way for the Lord to remove and operate in our hearts and in the hearts of others. Ezekiel 36 and verse 12 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put in within you. And I will take away the stony heart. And what does he say? And I will give you a heart of flesh. That is what Jesus wants to do to each and every one of us. He wants to remove the stone that's keeping us from a 100% total commitment to God and replace it with a simple heart. That's all he wants to do. That's all he wants to do in our lives so we can prepare the way for Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I want to see him face to face. And my prayer today is that we all can see Jesus face to face. Before I close, I ask Sister Jane Takbianen to sing the special song that I really liked, and I hope that you will receive a blessing. And it's very special to me, so I hope that you will be blessed by today. And then after that, I want to have a special prayer for each of us as we make a commitment to Jesus. Amen. So please pay attention to the message. Thank you.